Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to Sammy here. We got Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. It's a Monday morning. Sammy, good morning to you. How was your weekend?
Good morning, guys. Good weekend. Pretty fun couple of games in Boston to begin the series, and everything was great in the studio, so a good weekend.
You had some FOMO, too, I bet. You know, I mean, I've been to Boston a few times, been to Fenway a couple times. Watching that series, the weather they had those first two games, Sammy, I was like, God, dang, why didn't I make the trip up to Boston and go watch these guys just kick the hell out of the Red Sox for the first 2 days at least? I feel like we had a missed opportunity there, buddy.
Yeah, it would have been great. Would have loved to have been there. And, you know, from both the work perspective and just enjoying baseball, I've been to Fenway Park one time. It was not to see a Red Sox game, but it was actually for the Cape Cod Baseball League workout. They would do that every year for all the guys in the Cape Cod League when I worked there for two summers, and it's actually a really cool experience because there are scouts all over the Cape League all summer. And
yeah, then
around the Cape Cod League All-Star game, they bring each team in to do a workout where they have tons and tons of scouts sitting in the stands at Fenway, and it's a really cool opportunity for those guys, not just to, you know, work out in front of every scout you could imagine, but also get an experience of being on the field at Fenway. Back in the day, I think they actually played the All-Star game at Fenway, or maybe they do it again now. When I was there, they didn't do that. They only had the workout. But I remember the broadcast crew I was with at the time, and, you know, we were all in college and just really starting out. It was my friend Kevin, my friend Susie, my friend Matt. And we went up to the Green Monster, and I actually, this weekend, I looked at that photo that we have on top of the Green Monster, and it was pretty cool. So Boston, you know, I've been to Boston a lot growing up in New York, and, you know, when I was in Cape Cod, I mean, I spent two summers there. So I know that area pretty well, and I would have loved to have been there maybe next time.
What was that terrible Cape Cod movie that they did?
Summer Catch.
Summer
with Freddie Prinze
Catch.
Jr.
And Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel, yeah, Jessica Biel and Freddie Prinze Jr., yeah. I will say this, and I've seen that movie. It's obviously not realistic, I would say.
Right.
But there were definitely aspects to it that were spot on. You know, when you think about, like, classic, you know, ball players showing up in the Cape Cod League and going around from field to field. I mean, I've said this to a lot of people. I think the Cape Cod League, not to get on too of a tangent on it, but I think the Cape Cod League is like a must-do baseball experience.
Yeah, I really
think that it is by far the best summer league in the country. You know, like, you don't have to pay to go to the games. People literally put their blankets and chairs down in the morning, and then they show up later and sit down, and, like, they're playing at middle school fields and high school fields, and there really is sort of a mystique to it and just sort of a love of the game feel to it. And there's tons of scouts, and it everything's within an hour. You know, you just play one game and then that's it, and you play another game against another team the next night. It really is, I think, for a baseball fan, a must experience. I really do, because there is something really special about it, and they've had that collegiate league out there forever, you know, with some of the best players going back a long way playing out there and getting their names out, you know, to go play with Wood Bats out there was originally kind of the real reason.
And
so
Jessica Biel's cool there, Ben, so it's a great reason to go to see Jessica Biel, right?
I mean, can you promise?
I can't promise
the experience.
You.
I don't think you can. We got Sammy Levitt with us. And Woods, I just have to say, Sammy does such a great job on the pre- and the post-game shows. Especially, he's so unflappable. I was listening on Friday night after the game to Sammy's post-game show. And you know, it was a Friday, and it was Padres had won. It was a celebratory mood. And he took two or three straight calls in which the caller was less, let's just say, less than 100% sober. And you could tell.
Sober?
Well, you could tell when they wanted to talk about Kyle Higashioka.
Sorry. Good morning.
But Sammy does such a good job. And
Higashioka. Amazing.
And I could just tell, and you know, got a couple of those in a row. But Sammy is a pro. He keeps it lively. He keeps it fun. He treats everyone with respect, no matter how many three or four cocktails in before they give him a call. And I realize we don't ever get that experience in the mornings.
No, that would be a problem. That means you have a problem.
Generally, the people who call us are stone cold sober at, you know, between 6 and 10 a.m. when we do take phone calls. But you have a lot of late evening programs, Sammy. So you get some different clientele as part of your show.
Yeah, and it's all good. I mean, you know, people having a good time on a Friday night after a Padre win. I mean, you know, especially when the team is, I would say, at home. I mean, very often I'm on the air still in the 10:30 to 11 p.m. hour, right, depending on how long the game goes. So I always say it on the post game, like, we appreciate you wherever you're listening from. If you're on the way to your Friday night plans, on the way home, maybe you're just going out. So we are always happy to hear from you no matter what you've done earlier in the night. What you're going to do, if you're going to party, that's fine. Yeah, it's all good. So it's all part of the fun, I think, of the post-game life.
Sammy, injury updates from the San Diego Padres. We saw a couple of new ones this morning. It's kind of mixed bag right now for the team. They've got some good news, and they've got some more, I don't want to say concerning, but certainly news that gives you a little bit of pause right now.
Yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind updating me, was there something new that came out this morning before I hopped on?
I mean,
the good news is
Xander Bogaerts is on track.
CT scan.
Yeah, getting a CT scan today, and if it goes well, could start a rehab assignment. Luis Camposano rehab assignment in Lake Elsinore today. In The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, right, talking to doctors, and basically we're getting the sense that. The optimistic timeline of Fernando Tatis Jr. returning maybe after the All-Star break is pretty darn optimistic, and then a more realistic view is this could be closer to a two-month type injury to fully return from a stress reaction, and that we really shouldn't expect to see Fernando back anytime this month if we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah, and I see Dennis's piece. I got to read this once I get off, so I apologize for not being fully up to date on what Dennis wrote. But, you know, look, obviously with Xander, with the CT scan, we heard about that on Friday in Boston. So, you know, look, it sounded like if the results from that came back favorable, like he was not all that far away from maybe going out on a rehab assignment at some point. You know, look, without reading specifically what Dennis wrote this morning, you know, I'm not super surprised, you know, if you know, Fernando's going to be out a while. I mean, it sort of sounded that way. Now, when the injury first happened, you know, it was sort of a murky timeline, right? I mean, I felt like there was really no timeline put on it, but then you heard what Fernando said in the clubhouse later that day. And I felt like you could just kind of feel it and see it, that this was going to be something that was long term. I will say, you know, I don't know if I expected, you know, 2 months or something like that. But look, the bottom line is this: they're going to have to continue to figure out how to stay afloat. And I think, you know, in an overall sense, you know, no matter how long Bogaerts takes to come back, or if Fernando's going to be out a really, really extended period of time, to me, what they need to avoid is just sort of, you know, sort of going down one of those real downward spirals, right, that we've seen. Okay, because I actually, before I came on with you guys, I wasn't reading Dennis's article, but I was just jotting down what they've done since May 26th, and it really, I think, says something, because they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row. Then they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row, and then they won 9 of 11 to finish the month of June. And I think it just makes the point of, you know, look, they are going to have to continue to win the way they've won through these injuries, and that's playing team baseball and getting contributions all over the place. But the one thing they just can't really afford to do, no matter how many off days they have, no matter some of the really good opponents they have coming up in July. One thing they just, you know, have to avoid is letting yesterday's loss turn into losing a bunch in a row.
Yeah,
because
four
we've
more.
Seen that, right?
Right.
Like yesterday, I kept thinking about that Sunday game in Kansas City. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but that was like a stretch where the Padres had played really well, not for as long as they have this time around, but somehow, some way, that sort of surprisingly went into losing five in a row and totally changing how you felt about what they were doing. So, you know, guys, I think maybe you're looking at a situation with this team where, look, if they end up playing at some sort of level like they've played the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that's awesome. But at bare minimum, you're just hoping they can stay afloat, stay right in the mix of that wild card race, and hopefully when they get these guys back are right there, and it's like you're getting trade deadline acquisitions, essentially. And again, I got to read what Dennis wrote this morning on Fernando, but I'm not super surprised just based on his reaction later that night when it came out that he was going on the IL, and this was not a little thing. This was something that was gonna take some time.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think the message has changed really at all from us. You got to hang around. You know, that's it. Just hang around. And if you play 500 baseball through the month of July, which again, you're going to have a ton of off days, but the schedule is pretty difficult with some really difficult teams. You've played well against tough teams, so far this season. That can't change, certainly. And you do need to try to handle up on the teams that may be struggling a little bit. That would be a nice change of pace for the San Diego Padres. But really at the end of the day, man, get through July. You should be able to get a little healthier, with many, many off days in there, Sammy, but really hang around till the end of July, reevaluate. I mean, I just don't think anything's changed. I love the 9 out of 10. Certainly it's not something I'm expecting more of, with more guys going down and more guys, you know, getting drilled in the arm with, you know, 100 mile an hour, base hits up the middle. You just have to hang around because the NL is really nothing to write home about. But don't be that team that just goes off the cliff.
Yeah.
That we've seen. We've seen that here in San Diego. So I understand why people are on edge about it a little bit. But, man, watching this team play, watching what they're capable of has been awesome. It's awesome. I hope that continues. And if you lose a few here and there, you just got to staunch the bleeding. You can't have those five gamers anymore. Those have killed us.
Right. Because I don't know, you know, it's a good point. Like, again, I just think they need to find a way to avoid losing streaks, right?
Yep.
To avoid the kind of stretches that we saw earlier this year. Now, look, that may be easier said than done, because I think this team, especially in the last, you know, 10, 11 games, look, they've played great, and it's because they're getting contributions all over, whether it's Higgy, whether it's Jackson Merrill, whether it's, you know, just, you know, even the bullpen this weekend was really good.
Yep.
And I know they were dealing with big leads, but that was, I guess, somewhat encouraging that the bullpen was better. And obviously Manny heating up the way he has, that goes an enormously long way. But, yeah, when you zoom out and you look at the picture, like, yeah, I mean, Yu Darvish is out, and there's not a ton of information on when he's going to come back. Joe Musgrove, we know it's going to be at least a while for him. And then, you know, now the situation with Fernando maybe being lengthier than what you originally anticipated. And Xander is still a ways away. It's going to be at least, I would imagine, a couple of weeks based on what the results are today of that scan. So, yeah, it's they're in a really interesting spot, guys, right? Like they are playing well, and they're more than staying afloat right now. And then you've got the trade deadline looming, and how do they add, and what do they want to add, and what would they be willing to trade? Like, and then in the context of this really wide open NL. So, it's an interesting spot. And, you know, look, you hope those guys, whether it's you or Joe or Fernando or Xander, yeah. I mean, you want those guys back as quick as humanly possible, but, you know, that help is obviously, just even on Xander's front, still appears to be a bit of a ways away.
Well, first up in July is a three-game series against the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers, who had lost six in a row seven in a row, I think, or six in a row before yesterday, and then they won yesterday. But one matchup, I mean, not that they're head-to-head, but the two rookies, Wyatt Langford, who has been playing really well, including a cycle yesterday,
it was
the first in baseball this season.
Incredible.
Yesterday against Jackson Merrill, who's probably at least in consideration for, you know, National League Player of the Week or even Player of the Month with the kind of month that he put together. Going to be some rookie people looking at rookies this week when the Padres take on the Rangers.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Wyatt Langford, he played better. He did not get off to a great start, you know, unlike Jackson Merrill, who kind of hit the ground running at the start of the year. But, you know, just on Merrill, man, I think we talked about him last week, but it just continues to be remarkably impressive. And the way this guy rises to the moment and to do what he did at Fenway and his mom sitting out in center field and he nearly hits a home run right into her lap in center. I mean, it's remarkable. And I actually, not that I'm not a betting guy, but I did want to go look up at one of the major sports books. Just like, what are the odds, right, for Merrill and Rookie of the Year right now? And I think when I looked over the weekend, he had the second best odds to win Rookie of the Year of the NL. And, you know, right now, I know Imanaga had been really, really good, and Yamamoto had been really, really, really good, you know, and now is injured. But, like, if you just want to look at him, Merrill, in schemes, you know, look, you may be ultimately looking at a two-man race there. And what I'll be curious about is, A, does Paul Skeens, you know, keep up the pace he's at, and he's been terrific. You know, how many innings is he going to throw? Is that going to be enough to win a Rookie of the Year? We're going to find out. But I said this to somebody on the phones over the weekend. Like, I think, you know, we all would love to see him do something like that and win that kind of award. But regardless of that, just on Jackson, he is certainly having a Rookie of the Year caliber season. So, you know, well, whether he ends up winning the hardware or not, you know, I guess really isn't the point. But, man, he's got something about him. And, again, I think I said it to you last week that, you know, we all showed up at spring training and it was clear he was going to get an opportunity. And I think a credit to the Padres. They were right. He was ready. And I think he's certainly, you know, even exceeded the expectations we could have had to this point.
Well, Sammy, enjoy the day off here, and then we'll catch you tomorrow. We got, I believe, a 4:05 Eco Water SoCal pregame show, 5:05 first pitch against the Texas Rangers in the series opener. We'll hear from you then.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have you heard? I think I'm doing 6 to 10 on Friday.
Oh, are you filling in for us?
You got to cover our ass?
I did not know that.
I thought the whole station was off.
I thought everyone was off. No,
I believe, unless something has changed during Adam's traveling.
I mean,
I somehow have been.
I'm so sorry.
Jeez,
now I feel bad for taking the day off.
And there's a game that night.
And then you've got a game that night against Arizona at home.
I did not know
that. We'll talk to Adam for you.
We'll talk to the.
It's okay. No. I kind of volunteered.
Of course,
I kind of volunteered.
He's probably calling a minor league game tonight somewhere. It's crazy. He works all the time.
I'll talk NBA. I'm going to have fun. I think I'm going to try not to talk baseball from 6 to 10.
All right. Actually, you're not allowed, just so you know.
Sammy Levin.
We do have rules.
There are rules here.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.